Hello again, my fellow deep thinkers, and welcome back to the Long Hair Philosophy Podcast. As always, I am your host, Josh White, and today we're going to discuss something that is so drenched in philosophy, you'll need a towel to dry off after this episode. I may split this subject into two parts, as it covers everything from deep philosophical ideas to heavy religious overtones and a lot of psychoanalysis. And, of course, I'm talking about Neon Genesis Evangelion. So let's jump right into it. So to start off with, I wanted to give everyone a synopsis of the show for everyone who hasn't seen or heard of it. It goes like this. 15 years after the devastating event known as the Second Impact, Shinji Ikari is summoned to the new city of Tokyo 3 by his estranged father, Gendo Ikari, where he is tasked with piloting a giant mecha known as an EVA, or Evangelion. Along with two other pilots, Asuke and Rei, they fight to keep humanity alive from monsters known as angels. Okay, now that that's out of the way, I wanted to start off with exploring the direct references to certain philosophers because, well, that would be the easiest direction to take since the show can get pretty complex. And I don't want to turn off those that may have never even heard of it. I mean, I know it's an anime, and that's a pretty niche market anyway. And it's usually not very well marketed here in the States. So, anyway. To begin with, the most direct references come from some of the episode titles. For example, the title of episode 16 is The Sickness Unto Death, which is a direct reference to Soren Kierkegaard in his body of work called The Sickness Unto Death. Another episode is titled The Hedgehog's Dilemma, which is taken from the work of Arthur Schopenhauer, titled by the same name, and it explains the struggles of human intimacy and how others deal with that. Now, then direct references cover everything from Jean-Paul Sartre's Being and Nothingness, which, to put it simply, is about understanding free will and proving its existence, and that also ties into Martin Heidegger's Being in Time, where Heidegger attempts to revive ontology by asking the question of the meaning of being. And we've covered ontology before in past episodes, so if you haven't watched those yet and you want to get a better understanding of a deeper understanding of the definition of what ontology is, go ahead and watch those. And this is a lot to take in, I know. When I first watched this show, I was like 16, 17. It gave me somewhat of an existential crisis. I mean, I'm watching this show, and on the surface, it seems like it's just another throwaway anime that no one's ever heard of. You have giant robots fighting these aliens that you don't really, on the surface, it doesn't really seem like a whole lot, and it doesn't seem very deep. And, you know, it has the typical flashing lights and atypical characters. But once you really start watching it and paying attention, you get engrossed in the deeper story that is going on. And it's going right before your very eyes. And as someone who just started exploring philosophy as a concept, most of these references went way, way, way over my head. I had never heard of Kierkegaard. I had never heard of even Jean-Paul Sartre, who is arguably more well-known than Kierkegaard. And it just, so the first time you watch this, it's going to go over your head. You're not going to catch every little thing. But I did watch it years later, and when I did watch the series again, I caught some of the more subtle nods and hints at a bigger concept that was being explored. Not only does this show cover deep philosophical ideas, but it also explores psychological trauma, depression, as well as the Freudian idea of the early relationship between a child and its parents. More importantly, it's the relationship between the son and the mother, which that's a that can be a whole episode unto itself. I'm not going to get into it here. I'm just going to focus on the philosophical aspects of the show. So to go in a bit more in depth with the episode entitled The Hedgehog's Dilemma, as I said, it explores human intimacy and how some that doesn't come naturally. You know, when we think of human intimacy, we think of, you know, love, having stable relationships. Yeah, and sometimes they're hard and challenging, but some people just, they unconsciously push others away in fear that either they will hurt them or they in turn will get hurt. And that's what Schopenhauer really touched on with his work in The Hedgehog's Dilemma. And a good example of this theory is the main character, Shinji, in his relationship with just about anyone he comes into contact with, especially his father. Throughout the entire series, Shinji struggles with insecurities, moments of self-worth where he questions if he is worth a if he's valuable as an individual, or do others make up his self-worth? Do others make him valuable? And that's something that he struggles with throughout the entire series, up until about maybe the last two episodes when he has his epiphany. And it's really interesting to watch him go through all of these deep questions. And keep in mind, Shinji is only like in his early teens. So not only does he have to deal with the typical things that a regular teenager does, he has other deep-seated psychological issues that he needs addressed. And he asks himself these deep philosophical questions, you know, am I really worth anything if other people don't like me? Am I still worth something? Am I still valuable in some way? And he does this and tries to find meaning in his life along with the people he interacts with. So it's not just, it's very interesting to see Shinji interact with other characters like Asuka and Rei, his father too as well, because they ask themselves the same questions. And the Hedgehog's Dilemma basically states that people act like a hedgehog, you know, if you try to hug it. And they directly reference this in the show as well. They say that if you try to hug a hedgehog, then all you do is get hurt. And that pretty much sums up how Shinji thinks. He thinks that if he lets anybody get close, then he will hurt them, or they will in turn hurt him. And he's not the only one. His development as a character is truly heartbreaking at times, I'm not going to lie. The relationship between him and his father is very turbulent. You know, he hates his father for leaving him years ago, but still pines for his attention and approval. And it's very interesting to watch. You know, some episodes he absolutely despises him, but in other episodes he can't wait to see him and he can't wait to really just get his approval. You know, he still loves his father, but at the same time he hates him. And it's truly heartbreaking at times with having to watch Shinji overcome these problems. You know, he has to watch his friends die, and more importantly, he does get manipulated by his father. His father is very manipulative. Really, the only interaction that he has with Shinji is when he needs something from him, like piloting the Ava. Although he does finally, like I said, he does finally have an epiphany and somewhat overcomes these problems that plagued him at the very beginning of the series, the journey that he goes through and that leads him to that conclusion that he comes to is truly visceral, and I would say even gut-wrenching at times. I mean, there's a lot of death in this series, and some of it is good, some of it is bad. You know, bad guys die, good guys die, and it's all very well done. Okay, now I want to move on to what is by far the most explored theme in the series, and it ties in Kierkegaard and Sartre. But we're going to start with just Kierkegaard. In The Sickness Unto Death, Kierkegaard explores the concept of despair and death being connected with one's feelings of love and self, love in this case being God, or lack thereof, to one's relationship with God. According to Kierkegaard, there are three types of despair. The first being what he calls inauthentic despair, which is despair stemming from ignorance. In this state, one is unaware that the self is separate from its finite reality. The second is the refusal of accepting the self outside of immediacy. In other words, the self recognizes itself outside of the finite, but wishes to remain in a state of ignorance. The third type is recognizing awareness of the self, but refusing to acknowledge one's dependency on love, i.e., recognizing that God is in fact love. Kierkegaard concludes that to bring oneself out of despair is to exist and live in awareness of self while recognizing God's power or love's power. And almost every character goes through at least one stage of this, of despair. And in the case of Shinji, it would be all three. At the beginning, he goes through the first stage of inauthentic despair, which when the series first starts off, he's just going to Tokyo. He hasn't seen his father in years. And he's just, he's the typical depressed kid. Doesn't think he's worth anything. He's insecure. You name it. And this would be the despair stemming from ignorance. In the second stage, I would say, if he wants to remain ignorant, he starts to find out the deeper secrets about the program, about pilot that the Avas are a part of. He starts to find out that not all of their motives are good, and his dad really isn't a good guy. And also they are doing some questionable, unethical things on human experimentation, trying to hybridize beings that are part Ava and part human. It's really complicated, and if you haven't watched the series, you're not going to really understand, so I really recommend that you watch it, or at least get an overview of all of the episodes to really understand that. But in regards to Shinji, he finds all this out, but he chooses to look the other way. He is choosing to remain ignorant of the situation around him. And the third, he recognizes that he is worth something and that he is not a part of his finite reality. He sees himself as something separate, but he's still refusing to acknowledge that there is something higher than himself. In other words, God. But at the end of the series, he does bring himself to realize that there are higher beings and there are higher powers outside of himself that he can't control, and he's okay with that. And that's when he really gets out of his funk. That's when he has his existential epiphany, I would say. But like I said, almost every character goes through at least one of these stages. Some of them stay in that stage, others get themselves out. You know, these characters are multifaceted. They're not just one-dimensional, which is good. And, you know, I have to say that what you can really take away from this series is that not only does it tell a good story about everything from being in despair to having questions about self-worth and asking yourself existential questions like this and like we do on this show, it's very relatable to someone like me who went through some of the things that Shinji has gone through as well. Not only the whole, you know, the whole fighting giant aliens and, you know, with a giant robot part, obviously, but rather the more human aspects, asking yourself, are you worth anything? If no one likes you, does anybody like you? Dealing with feelings of doubt and depression and all these other things. And I wish that, you know, I got out of that funk as fast as Shinji did, but hey, what are you going to do? That's life, right? And, you know, in more recent years, the show has garnered more attention. I think that's wonderful. It's a show that is wholly underappreciated and should be viewed by a much wider audience. The philosophical undertones in this show, I only touched on a little bit of it. Just, it's so fascinating to see and watch. Like I said at the beginning, on the surface, it just looks like another typical throwaway anime. But once you really start watching it and start paying attention, you recognize some of the problems, and you can even, maybe some of you could even relate to some of the problems that some of the characters on the show go through. And I think it's wonderful. I recommend it to everybody. I know this might be a bit of a quick episode, sort of. It's going to be pretty typical length. But yeah, so I just wanted to say thank you for listening. If anybody is interested, I do have a Twitter. You can find me there. Long Hair Philosopher is my is the Twitter name. You can find my website that I have. It is longhairphilosophy.home.blog. And I also have a Twitch that I play video games and stream on. That is, the name of that one is Cakeadeus, CakeAdeus, like Amadeus with cake. And I just want to thank you guys for listening. I hope this episode was informative. It took me a couple of days to get everything down. I wanted to make sure that I had all my T's crossed and my I's dotted. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to keep deep thinking.